Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Fire Talk, where we give you the latest news updates on Southeastern University athletics. I'm Dr. Ken Engel, president of Southeastern University. Joining me, as always, is our amazing athletics director, Drew Watson. How you been?
Pretty good.
Hey, it's NBA playoff time.
It is.
Are you excited?
I am excited, but not as excited as you.
Yeah.
This is because you're an NBA guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it's going to be good, man. Some amazing teams. The West Coast is on fire. I just don't know who's going to come out of that. You know, everybody's saying Denver, but who knows? We'll see.
Are you excited about
Minnesota?
The Clippers
looking good? Yeah. Yeah.
Are you skeptical?
Yeah, but you know the thing is, I mean, Kawhi just came back last night. Hadn't been playing for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and so it seems like when we get to the playoffs, they're not all where they need to be. So that's the only concerning thing. But they sure look good on Sunday, man. They dismantled Dallas.
They did.
How about your 76ers?
A little frustrating.
Yeah. That was an interesting game.
Yes, very interesting officiating. But I don't want to get fined by the league, so I'm not going to talk about it. But it's very interesting what officials in the NBA choose to call and not call at various points in the game.
Right.
You get like you brush an arm in the first quarter. It's a foul, but you know you can pretty much tackle someone in the last 15 seconds and you're going to swallow the whistle. But
no, that was crazy. What Philadelphia was up by 5 with 30 some seconds to go.
Yeah,
and they lost it by.
By 4, I think, because of free throws.
Crazy.
Two threes. Two
and that
threes.
Laker-Denver game finished, too.
Oh, yeah.
LeBron was not happy with the refs on that one.
No, he wasn't.
It should be fun.
A little debate over whether MJ would have stood up and left a press conference like LeBron did, but we don't have to get into that.
And speaking of basketball.
Yeah, we have an exciting new hire in the building with us. Our new men's basketball coach, Hudson Welty. Welcome, Coach.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. Tell us a little bit about where you're from and what your experience in coaching has been.
Yeah, so coming from Mid-America Nazarene in the Kansas City area, pretty high-level NAIA program, and I've been an assistant at some awesome institutions, Arizona Christian out in Phoenix, Indiana Wesleyan out in Marion, Indiana, and then Covenant College in Lookout Mountain, Georgia. So my wife and I are pumped with our dog, Ralphie, to make the move out here to Lakeland.
That's great. Well, we're excited that you're here and just looking forward to how you're going to take this program to another whole new level.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
So you and your wife, Audra, are making a big move here to Lakeland from Kansas. Talk to us about what that looks like for you and what was involved in the decision to make this move.
Yeah, obviously, as a young assistant, the dream is to one day become a head coach, right? And so, man, having been familiar with Southeastern, and obviously the Sun Conference is a great league. Last year getting 5 teams to the national tournament, super competitive. But I think the top thing was it being a Christian school, right? Yeah. The ability to win at a high level, but more importantly, develop young men in their faith at a high level. And so we weren't looking at anywhere, but when Southeastern came open, it really popped off the page because of those two things primarily.
Yeah. You have been a part of amazing programs, winning programs in basketball. How's that shaped your mindset and your kind of your philosophy of coaching and as you look forward to what you're going to do here at SEU?
Yeah, have worked for some incredible guys, the most recent being Adam Hepker at Mid-America. Have worked for Greg Tonegal at Indiana Wesleyan, who's won 3 national championships. Right. And then Jeff Rutter out on the West Coast in Phoenix, who's, brought a program from scratch to a national powerhouse. And so, man, I know what winning feels like. I know what it sounds like. I know what it looks like, having coached with those guys and being a part of those programs. I think, it's 80% our mentality and 20% what we put on the floor.
Right.
So coaching guys up, there's going to be 4 things we're going to be about. And the first thing is living last, putting God first and other people second. And so once guys just start to get that clear picture in their minds of what that is and what that looks like day to day, it's crazy what can happen on the court. And I want guys who are passionate, a unified team and a tough team. But those 3 things don't matter if we're not pursuing putting our teammates ahead of ourselves and putting God first.
Yeah, that's so good.
Now, you came in, you know, we announced you on the night of April 15th. You had some travel issues. So you basically step off the plane into the locker room.
Yeah.
And so it's been a bit of a whirlwind for you.
It has.
The next day you were in Valdosta recruiting.
Yep.
You know, it's been crazy. But although you haven't been here long, what's been your impression of SU and Lakeland so far?
Yeah. going through the interview process, there's just incredible people, I think, and that's what makes facilities are unbelievable. The location's great. The Christian environment, even the guys seem like awesome young guys, hungry to grow and learn. But man, the people is what makes Southeastern. So the friendly faces, getting a lot of help from people. I've had a lot of meeting some faces that have been extremely helpful in this process. And that's what makes a school, right? Especially a special school like Southeastern is the amazing people. So it's been a whirlwind, but it's been good because of the help and people that have crossed paths with here.
What are you looking forward to most as you kind of head into the fall and the new season?
Yeah, I think laying the foundation. Starts in recruiting, obviously. Right. Have had the opportunity to work with the guys here the last couple of weeks and get to know them. Man, and there's a hunger for growth. Yeah. And that's a baseline, right? You got to want to grow on and off the court. Excited for our recruitment of some different guys here coming in. But then, too, like, there's going to be some – it's not going to be pretty, right, building something.
Sure.
There'll be growing pains. But I think laying the foundation for what could be a national-level powerhouse at this level – and Southeastern has proven we could win at a high level here in years past.
Yeah.
And so turning that into a consistent powerhouse, man, excited about that and starting to build that here this fall.
Yeah. Well, when you say it's not going to be pretty, you mean for the opponents.
100%. Yeah, it's going to be nightmares.
There's a couple I hope it's really bad for. I won't say their names.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Off air. So this, as you mentioned, this is your first time in a head coaching role. You also mentioned some of the great coaches you've worked for.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the most impactful things you've learned from those guys as you coach with them?
Yeah. Man, so I played for a guy named Rocky Lamar who his best quality wasn't anything X's and O's wise. It was just his ability to love us and care for us and lay that foundation. And that's been true for every guy I've worked for. They've done it in their own unique way, but relationally with our players, putting your arm around them, loving them, coaching them hard. I think when you build trust and a player knows you care about them, that's why I played hard for my head coach in college. And so that's the baseline. Greg Tonigal was elite at communicating and motivating our guys. Coach Rutter at Arizona Christian was an elite X's and O's guys. And he still plays pickup to this day with his team, and he's probably not listening, but he's an old head, right? And then Hep's going to be elite at both. And he's, second year going on his third year as a head coach. And so, man, learning from all those guys. But the baseline is the relationship-drivenness of all those guys and their ability just to love their guys and care for them. That goes beyond, the scoreboard.
Yeah, it's great.
Man, we're looking forward to the season and just grateful that you're here, that we believe God sends us the right people to continue to see good things happen, growth. And I know you're gonna lead this team well. And it's going to be an amazing season.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us today. And looking forward to it.
Yep. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
As a local Coca-Cola bottler, Coke Florida is dedicated to partnering with our community across the Sunshine State, locally owned, locally managed, locally focused. Coca-Cola Bottling Florida is a proud sponsor of Fire Athletics. Well, let's check all our spring teams as we wind down the regular season, so to speak.
Finals week.
Yeah, finals week. Let's talk about softball. Softball had a road trip this past weekend. What's going on?
Yeah, they traveled to Brunswick, Georgia to play Coastal Georgia. Going into that series, we were tied for second place with Coastal, and we won the first game 4-0. Complete game shutout from Eden Playa. Gave up 5 hits, struck out 3. Next 2 games did not quite go so well for us.
What about games 2 and 3?
Games 2 and 3, we had the lead going into the 7th, 2-1. But the Mariners got a leadoff walk in the bottom of that inning. Back-to-back groundouts, got a run at a third. Single to center field. 3 singles later, the Mariners had another win, and they won the game. Then on Saturday, similar story.
Yeah.
We took a 4-2 lead in the top of the 6th. Unfortunately, in the bottom of the 6th, Coastal scored 7 runs to win 9-4. So not a great result for us that weekend. But we are still tied for 2nd.
Okay.
Heading into the last weekend.
Yeah, and Fire will be back at home this weekend for Senior Day. They play Kaiser, and their last series of the regular season games are at 2 p.m. Friday, then on noon and 2 p.m. on Saturday. I'm hoping to catch one of those games on Saturday. So
yeah, it's a big series. Right now, St. Thomas is sitting atop of the conference. They've got 5 losses. Coastal and us are still tied with 6. And, You know, and so I'm sorry. No, St. Thomas and Coastal are tied at first.
Okay.
With five losses. We have six, so we're a game back, and they play each other this weekend.
Okay.
And so there's a chance, never know, if yeah. we sweep Kaiser and get some help, we could finish as regular season champs.
That'd be wonderful. Let's talk about track. How did track and field do last week?
Yeah, they had their last meet before the Sun Conference Championships and had some impressive showings. Cedric Johnson Jr. took second in the men's 400-meter hurdles in a season best time of 54.33, mm-hmm. which is an NAIA B standard time. Then Joshua Valentin was first in the triple jump at 13.55 meters, cleared 1.67 meters in the high jump. And Jerry Kajoste was the long jump champ at 6.86 meters.
Okay, great.
And the women, you're going to ask about the women.
Oh, sure, yeah. Absolutely.
The women's side, Chelsea Martino took third in both the 100-meter and the 100-meter hurdles in times of 12.42 and 16.4, respectively. Then Jillian Blazer was fourth in the 800 meters at 2:18.
2:18.
Yeah,
all right.
2 minutes, 18 seconds.
A lot of strong finishes last week. What are the details for conference championships?
Conference championship is this weekend.
Okay.
Hosted by St. Thomas in Miami Gardens. Both teams trying to win their fifth straight title. Interesting thing about St. Thomas, they just put in a new track.
Ah.
So it's a beautiful track facility. They made it navy blue. Now, one of their colors is navy blue, but it seems to me in South Florida, it's going to be a very warm
track.
Very
warm. We know because of our football fields.
Yes, we do. The black end zones. Yes.
The black end zones.
Yep.
It can get hot. Well, that's look forward to seeing what happens this weekend with them. Yep. Baseball, what's new with baseball?
We wrapped up our fifth straight Sun Conference regular season title over the weekend. Four-game sweep with St. Thomas on Saturday with a 14-4 win to pick up our 41st win of the season. Big highlight was Josh Smith hitting four homers in this series alone. Wow. He was named Conference Player of the Week this week, and we've got some clips
of
him going yard. You know, when you get to this game, it's tied 7-7, bottom of the eighth. So you're looking for a big hit.
From Polo,
and
this ball is hammered towards left field.
And they said on the broadcast it was a 408-foot blast into the football field. And then we've got another coming up here. He's just on fire.
It's amazing.
Now, this was on Saturday, tied at 3. Early in the game, bottom of the third.
Now he's swinging, and that one's high and deep, get out of here, ball, there it goes.
Just hammers that ball.
Josh Smith for the second
and Josh is not
series.
A big kid.
Given
I mean,
the
he's
lead
not,
on a two-run
he's
shot.
Not, you know, Gary Lohr is a big guy. Josh is a thinner guy. And so you look at him, and you're like, yeah, he's
Doesn't
probably a speedster.
Strength,
He's a base stealer speedster, but he has got some power.
Wow.
The Fire hit four home runs in game one, one each from Gary Lohr, Isaac Nunez, Josh Smith, as we just saw, and David Castillo. Tommy Davis also hit his fourth home run of the season, game two of the series.
That's great. What about our pitchers? I know they've been fun to watch this season.
Man, I think you've probably seen it on Twitter. We have a graphic comes up with the highest speed
pitches
that they threw over the weekend. It's really impressive. And they continue to be impressive. Ramsey David struck out six over four innings in game four, was relieved by Danny Batcher, lefty, who picked up the win with three and a third innings of work. Did not allow an earned run on two hits and a walk, and recorded two strikeouts.
Wow.
And we've got our best pitcher, I would say, of a good group, Darian Smith. We've got some highlights of him. He's now a five-time Sun Conference Player of the Week.
Nice. Oh, wow.
And for a short season like baseball is, it's very impressive.
Innings. We'll see. He's only at 87 pitches.
So here you see a nasty, nasty breaking pitch. Just falls right off the table. Looks high coming out of his hand.
Darian Smith as he
and sit down,
comes off the
Mr.
Mount,
Bobcat.
Fired up.
And then we got another one. We've got a slider here from Darian. I mean, this pitch just
1-2 offering, check swing.
He tried to hold up.
Yeah,
right.
On it. Yeah.
That's filthy stuff.
That's good pitching.
Really impressive.
Wow. That's excellent. What's next for Fire?
Well, head to West Palm to face Kaiser.
Okay.
We actually are leaving later on today. It's a four-game series. Starts the final series of the year.
All right, let's talk about tennis. What's going on?
Well, tennis is right now in Brunswick, Georgia.
Okay.
For the Sun Conference playoffs. The men, The men, the tournament's 4 days, all right, April 24th through 26th. The Fire ranks second in the conference and await the winner. This is the women. They await the winner of number three SCAD versus number six Warner for a match on Thursday. If they win that contest, the Fire move on to the championship, which is Friday. Probably play Kaiser.
Okay. And then the women?
They finished their season with a bout against number 10, D2, Embry-Riddle this past Thursday. Now they prepare for their arrival on the courts of the Sun Conference Championship, same place as the men, Coastal Georgia. Women are third in the conference, and they will be playing the quarterfinal Wednesday at 2:30. That's today, right now. They just started. If we were to win, we face number 2 SCAD on Friday and the championship match on Saturday.
Yeah.
But that was the men, excuse me, I was talking about before. They are ranked second and await the winner of SCAD against Warner. Now, the women, it's very interesting. The women, if they win today and beat the host, they, as I said, will face SCAD. SCAD is an incredible player.
Okay.
Who SCAD has decided to only play 20% of the year to save a year of eligibility. Hmm. In order to do that, you can't play in the playoffs. So you and I were out at tennis a few weeks ago watching SCAD, in that match. And our women lost that match to SCAD. But it's going to be really interesting as if we play them again, playing them without this top-ranked player.
Yeah.
And see what we can do, because obviously the women are going to be fired up,
to try
and avenge that loss from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, all of our spring teams, man, they're in great position going into this final weekend and conference play. So excited about what they've been able to accomplish this season. That's a wrap for today. Thanks for joining us as we close the show. Just a reminder again, everyone, about our home games this week. Softball will host their last series of the year against Kaiser. Again, first game Friday at 2, on Saturday again at 12 and 2, with all the senior day festivities prior to that first game.
And make sure you visit SCUFire.com for the latest news in Fire athletics. You can find the events calendar there as well as a link to watch all of our games for free.
Good luck to all our teams for the weekend. Thanks again for joining us, everyone. Go Fire.
Go Fire.